Sports Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, with my co-host from Los Angeles, California, Joey Nocioprano.
Hello, Andy.
Good morning / afternoon. What's up, brah?
Oh, you know, just waking up, coffee, dirty sports. You get more of your day in before we start, but
I do.
I just get up, I make coffee, I come right on through. Yeah, I try to go to the bathroom if possible, and I go right to the show. In fact, I forgot to open my blinds. Let me open my blinds. I like a little sun shining in.
I am really enjoying having a basement to poop in. That's one of the things that I've enjoyed since moving back to the house, is waking up, walking down to the basement, and just take that nice, clean, big old morning dump in the basement.
I'm not sure I've ever heard somebody refer to a dump as clean, a nice clean.
Well, if you eat right, and I've been trying to eat better in the last, like, let's say, few days, not that long, you know, where it's clean, it's cleanly coming out of the old anus.
Mm, I don't think anybody wants to hear this. Yeah, I'm just having my coffee, Andy. Well, I like the discussion of like, go where your bathroom environment. Like, yeah, basement bathrooms, great. You know, we used to have a bathroom in my house growing up. We called it the library bathroom. It was really just like we didn't really have like a library, but there was this like weird middle of the house sitting room that was originally our living room. But then when my parents put an extension on, it just became like my dad's library. It just had a desk and a bunch of leather bound books. But it was like the hidden secret quiet bathroom. So we didn't have a basement bathroom, but it was the go-to poop bathroom.
Yeah.
So I like the poop environment. I don't know if we need to talk about the crispness with which it ejects from you.
My crisp bowel movements?
Certainly not before I've had my coffee.
As you plug your coffee makes me poop mug.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good mug.
Thanks.
I like it.
Just want everybody to know. If I'm drinking this, we've got things to do before we can go anywhere or do anything.
Well, you know, I'd like to get, before we get into the actual professional sports, I want to give an update on the Immaculate Heart of Mary third grade boys basketball team.
Yes. Is it true that you guys will be moving to a bubble, that you will have to be living in quarters with third graders for the next 3 months until the championship can be settled? Is that true?
I hope, because that? We might need that, because the latest updates are there are three third grade basketball teams at the school that I'm coaching. Two are currently on quarantine. Multiple players contracted COVID. So now I believe 18 or 19 boys are under quarantine. Multiple teachers. It has spread so bad. The latest update yesterday from the school that I saw was starting next Tuesday, the entire school will go back to virtual learning through January 4th, which makes me think our season is done.
Yeah, I was going to say, why are we still trying to fit in this third grade basketball season?
Although I still haven't gotten it.
So like the cable TV money, we just got, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
So I don't know, Joe, the commissioner of the school who manages all the teams, both boys and girls, has not sent out an official email, but I'd assume if the students have to go virtual through January 4th, there's no way they're going to allow them, right, to play basketball if they can't go to school.
Right.
So I hate to say it, it looks like our season is done, and yesterday was by far our worst practice as well. The kids were out of control. They weren't listening. It was the first practice where Coach Ruther got mad.
Do you have a whistle?
I do.
Okay. I feel like that's very effective for kids of that age?
Well, you know, the MO has been like, I'm the chill coach. I try to bring more of the Zen Phil Jackson mentality. But yesterday, they weren't listening. I put them on the line multiple times. You had to go
full Coach Monkey on them.
Well, you know, I had to make them run a bunch.
Wow. Fear-based learning.
That's Which I've been told that suicide sprints is now inappropriate. At least I've seen that on social media.
You can't say suicide sprints?
No, I have no problem saying it.
Calling it that. Is that the thing? Okay.
We have not been issued any orders, but I've seen
time to get on the line for self-harm sprints.
Yeah. Have you seen any of this? I'm surprised you haven't. I've seen multiple things on social media from people saying, you have no clue what that does to the psyche of high school and grade school kids when you tell them that there are kids that could be suicidal and you telling them to run suicide sprints.
Well, I know that even these days, it's not a suicide pool. It's an elimination pool on Yahoo. Like if you're picking, you know, you got to pick an NFL team not to lose. It's an elimination. It's like, remember when it was just called suicide?
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah.
Well, Joe, I think the only natural segue from third grade basketball is to go to the NBA because a lot has been happening here in the last 24 hours.
I mean, are we going to start with what is essentially third grade basketball drama in the Clippers locker room?
Yeah, we can start right there.
Yeah, the only thing about all the drama that's going on with the Clippers that wouldn't be third grade basketball drama is that much of it came out on the All That Smoke podcast/show where Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes probably sell weed to kids via the mail. Like I like the All That Smoke with just like the smoky things. Like they're just going All That Smoke. You can't say suicide sprints anymore, but you can have All That Smoke podcast on Showtime. On Showtime.
Well, I've never actually listened to the podcast. I did listen to the clips, and I also read the big story that came out of The Athletic.
Right.
Athletic is coming clutch. Shout out again.
Connor Ross
hooking it up. The Athletic has been clutch for us because they do write a lot of great stories. So basically, your critique of Doc Rivers, which I have joined, I full-heartedly agree with basically everything you've said about Doc, is worse than what we even thought.
Yeah, I think the you guys, if you remember when I did the locker room visit to the Kawhi Paul George Clippers locker room, I painted a picture of two guys that let the whole team do their press first. They show up late. Kawhi's surrounded by security. He has one guy that's with him at all times. It's like a bodyguard. You're not allowed to talk to him until he turns around at his locker. So I have, you know, I don't want to say I scooped The Athletic. Shout out Chris Wilde for, getting me in the locker room. But I talked about how there's clear special treatment for those guys just in the locker room and the way they're handling the press and all that, you know, last year. But also, this is something that has kind of been hinted about, but now as it's coming out and Paul George is jumping in to almost defend himself, throwing other people under the bus, it's just very clear that Doc Rivers, while not being a very good strategic coach, also did a terrible job of managing the egos. Like Phil Jackson, who, you know, people argue one of the greatest coaches of all time, certainly has the hardware to prove that he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. A lot of people are like, you know, Phil Jackson wasn't really a great strategist. He wasn't even the biggest fan of the triangle, but it worked for, you know, having Tex Winter originally bring it in, and it worked. And so he stuck with this strategy that worked, but really what he was great at was the ego management, getting these guys play together, getting these guys care, the motivation, all that. What is Doc Rivers qualified to do at this point? Real nice guy. That's it? Real nice guy?
If you're a Philadelphia 76ers fan, it's got to be painful to read this stuff.
First of all, if there's one thing I know about Philadelphia sports fans, they're delusional. So they have long talked themselves into Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is, you know, going to be coach of the year. They're going to go to the finals and possibly beat the Lakers. Carson Wentz just needs receivers. Doug Peterson is, you know, lightning brain. He knows what he's out coaching everybody.
Well, let's before we go on an Eagle or on like a Philly rant, I want to get back to what exactly was leaked in the Athletic article. We already knew from other sources, right, that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard received preferential treatment, but the actual perks have now been revealed. So let me just read a few of these. Both Leonard and Paul were the only players to have their own security, also their own trainers. Leonard and George had power over the – these are some crazy things. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George had power over the team's practice and travel schedule, leading teammates to believe Leonard canceled multiple practices. Kawhi was allowed to live in San Diego and commute from there, which often made him late for his team flights. And back to your media thing, Leonard and George typically didn't speak to the media until at least 45 minutes after games concluded. That way, basically, the rest of the players became the voices for the team. And this is one that's crazy. Teammates also believe that Leonard and George were able to pick and choose when they played. Not only did they sit out games entirely, but also at times they accepted or declined playing time in the moment of games. Wow.
So there's a couple of different things here in terms of all this stuff. First of all, who the fuck is Paul George? Like, honestly, it's the equivalent of, you know, go across the hallway to the Lakers locker room. Rajon Rondo called the shots on when he played and when he didn't. Who the fuck is Paul George? Paul George has done nothing in the NBA to qualify him as some sort of superstar preferential treatment. Just bottom line, hasn't done it. The other thing is, when you talk about this being Kawhi Leonard, you know, I know Kawhi Leonard with the, you know, he's quiet and the funny laugh and the low-key personality and the whatever. For a minute there, he was everybody's darling. He was the reason the Toronto Raptors, you know, won their first championship. He's going to be Deion Sanders. Everywhere he goes, he's going to run around town delivering a championship. Kawhi Leonard was the best player on a great Raptors team that won the championship. Before that, he was a guy on the San Antonio Spurs who had obvious and significant beef with probably the greatest basketball coach of all time. Like, people forget that the San Antonio days ended poorly, weirdly, him not showing up, him communicating through his own trainers. Like, this has been a Kawhi Leonard issue for basically the last half of his career since he became quote unquote a star in San Antonio. He's been a problem.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. He seems to have gotten a pass because he is quiet. He's more introverted, reserved. I think the fact that he's not out there with, you know, his showmanship or even on like social justice issues, he's just a quiet guy, right?
If this report comes out about any big time NBA star, LeBron, you know,
Kevin Durant,
Russell
Steph, Westbrook,
Luka, any of these guys, any of these big name guys, this is sort of like LeBron would be being spit fire roasted on the ESPN morning shows if it was like he's showing up late to team flights because he demands he lives in this other part. He gets to pick where he plays.
Yeah.
Where now, and when he plays.
Now, I understand what he brings on the court. You understand that. We all understand how good Kawhi is. You know, he's won Defensive Player of the Year, obviously multiple finals MVPs, takes, you know, and he won that with two different teams and two different conferences. But it really is a bad look. And obviously it didn't work. And to set up this system, I'm not even going to put this all on Doc, Joe. You got to put it on the owner as well. You know, Steve Ballmer is very hands-on. He's screaming and yelling at every game as he sits behind the hoop. I'm just saying, like, this to me is a top from the organization to the bottom. Everybody involved seems culpable here.
I just think, to be totally honest with you, first things first, it's an overestimation of Kawhi Leonard as a basketball player. You're going to turn over your organization to Kawhi Leonard and let him do whatever he wants because of what? Like, let's talk about where he actually, what he has actually done in terms of taking, he was on a San Antonio Spurs team, which won 50 games since Kawhi Leonard was in diapers. Every year, they won 50 games. You have success with the San Antonio Spurs. You win a finals MVP with the San Antonio Spurs. Cool. So did Tony Parker. If you turn your team over to Tony Parker, you're a fucking lunatic. Okay? Then Kawhi Leonard goes to a Raptors team that's the one seed every year. And yeah, he puts them over the top. No doubt about it. He's one of the best players in the NBA. But look at what happened in the Clippers. He's not show up at your team immediately. They didn't make the conference finals. And you could say it's part of this. This is why they didn't. But I would just say that everything that somebody demands is justified if they bring winning and they push you over the top. I'm certain that Tom Brady has his own trainer in Tampa Bay and has a special locker room where he can mouth kiss his son before games without anybody seeing it. But he changed the culture in Tampa Bay. What have you done? You got the Clippers to the second round? Whoa. That's why people are talking about this. If this all happened and the Clippers lose in the NBA Finals, this isn't a story. What you set up worked then. But the reason this is coming out is because you didn't really make the Clippers that much better.
I'm a little torn on this one because he did take Toronto to that next level. I mean, they just floundered year after year in the playoffs. And when Kawhi got there, I feel like his mindset really did take them.
And what did that coincide with?
What do you mean?
That coincided with LeBron James leaving the East. Every year, Toronto's good. Boston's good. Who's the one seed? Doesn't matter. You're not going to the finals. You can go 73-9. You're losing to LeBron James.
I mean, that's certainly an argument.
It like they got to the finals. They won with obviously an injured Golden State team. He won the finals MVP. Let's not forget. Yes, he hit a huge, like, he hit that shot against the 76ers, but that series came down to that shot. Like, they got some, like, great shot by him. They get lucky in the finals with injuries. And they get lucky that LeBron James isn't in the East anymore.
Yeah, but I don't want to go that far. I'm not going to agree with you there. I don't want to say lucky. I think Kawhi is that good of a player. I just think, obviously, this is not a good look, what happened with the Clippers. I also think
– I will just say that he's good. Yeah, he's a great player. He's not good enough to demand the things he demanded.
So that's the question.
Because if he was, the guys that were on the Clippers before him, I mean, the story.
But who is, Joe? Real quick, who is? You're saying he's not going to – who is good enough to make these demands that he made?
LeBron James, Kevin Durant. The list, you're running out of list pretty – The list is pretty short because you need to have a certain amount of years in the league and you need to have a feeling like you bring something that no one else did. Like, I don't know that Steph can say this stuff because look at, you know, Steph works because he's in the mix like that. He's not head and shoulders above the rest of the guys in the locker room. I think the Warriors work because Steph and Clay and Dre. What pushed them over the top was when Kevin Durant comes in and goes, I make teams better. I am a killer. I come here, we win. The Nets are going to be better because Kevin Durant went there.
Yeah.
Not because Kyrie Irving went there. Like, you know, the problem is you can say Kawhi is this, is that, but here's the thing. This whole story is unnamed sources here, unnamed sources there. This guy inside the locker room. It seems to me that, like, it seems pretty obvious to me. We're talking about Lou Williams, Pat Beverly, Montrezl Harrell, the guys who are the core of this team before Kawhi Leonard comes in, says this is how we're going to do it, doesn't improve the team. And they're like, yo, we could get to the second fucking round without you. And now we're not sitting on a plane going, where's Kawhi? Stuck on the five?
Well, the other things that we have to talk about are some of the coaching problems, which I think – here's what I think. We have to, and I think you might have said this earlier, we have to say that Paul George is doing somewhat damage control by going on this podcast because now he's trying to put a lot of blame on Doc, right?
Right.
So Paul George said the following things. We never worked on adjustments. We never worked on what to do differently. He's referring to the Denver series. We just had the same shit happen over and over. And he goes on to say the convo should have been, we need to change this as far as their scheme, their planning against the Nuggets. And then he dropped a big bomb 30 seconds later and claims that the Clippers did not practice the whole year.
Listen, Doc Rivers is a bad basketball coach. I've said that before. I'll say it again. Doc Rivers, terrible strategically, seems like a nice guy. But if you're not controlling your locker room, what do we have left here? Great in press conferences. He's not good. He has one championship, which is the only reason that he's in conversation as a great coach in the NBA. When, again, I always say that one championship should be a knock instead of a trophy because he only got one. And the problem with the Paul George thing, and again, I'm not defending Doc. Doc's terrible. I don't know if they're going to be better with Tyronn Lue because Tyronn Lue's also terrible. But the thing about Paul George is no one was dissing Doc. You know what I mean? Paul George is now dissing Doc because Paul George, like you said, is trying to do cleanup. But those guys, when they weren't getting to the conference finals, you didn't hear the core of that team, Pat Beverly and Lou Williams and Montrez and all the guys that were there prior to Kawhi and Paul George trashing Doc when they get knocked out in the second round. So you can trash Doc all you want. I'm the king of trashing Doc. Doc deserves to be trashed. But Paul George, like you said, is doing cleanup on people talking shit about him and the guy who he quote unquote got brought in with.
Well, look, I want to take it back, and you know me, I always love doing this with organizations that have been bad and poorly run, and I'll go back to that. Like, when you try to change a culture, and that's what the Clippers are trying to do, and that's what Steve Ballmer's been trying to do since he bought the team from Donald Sterling, it's not easy to change 30, 40 years of futility and that many years and decades of a team losing and being the laughingstock, not just of the NBA, but in their own city. And they have a big hole to dig out of, in my opinion. Like the Clippers.
I would disagree with you though there, because we've seen it across other sports. We've seen new ownership come in and completely change franchises and completely revitalize them. And completely take them, maybe not. Obviously, the Clippers, yes, are.
It's have title been or bust for them, right? I mean, that's what it was.
Sure. But also, it's Western Conference Finals or what the fuck are we doing here? Because they didn't even make the conference finals.
And that's my point. They've still, as a organization, never made the Western Conference Finals.
But I will say, I've been saying this all along. Cool story, new owner, new jerseys, new Kawhi, your coach stinks. And now they got rid of a coach. But unfortunately, they didn't bring in a guy who's going to change the culture.
Yeah.
They brought in Tyronn Lue. So good luck to the Clippers.
And the NBA's against us. It's QAnon drinking the blood of.
Well, I was just about to bring up our boy, Sam Tripoli. What did he claim the Clippers were going to go last year? 70.
I think he said 75-7.
Yeah. And they didn't even make it past the conference semifinals.
To be fair, that was a number he – like, somebody had – I think he originally said, like, 85-5, and they were like, dude, there's 82 games in the NBA season. So, like, the dude doesn't watch basketball. I'm not even sure – like, is punch-drunk sports still a thing? Or is Tripoli just, like, you know, literally – got a micro, like a magnifying glass, and he's going around pizza shops in DC trying to find, like, you know, people drinking the blood and eating the adrenochrome of small boys.
I actually heard
hidden in pizza ovens.
I heard his new conspiracy is that LeBron James is responsible for all these monoliths that are popping up all over the world.
Just more LeBron hardware.
Yeah. Well, Joe, that's a great segue to discuss the Lakers, who are on the opposite side of the spectrum from the Clippers. They have re-signed LeBron for an additional 2 more years, so 3 years total, including this season. Anthony Davis today is re-signing for 5 years, 4 years with an additional optional fifth year. So basically, the main takeaway that everybody should know is LeBron and AD, as of today, have 3 more years together coming off the
title. Minimum, right.
Minimum.
Yep. How many more do they get, Andy?
3 more years together. I mean, look, Father Time is undefeated, even though LeBron is, we know, has basically been the only one to push that, in my opinion.
Well, I think.
When I think you look they get one more.
One more. Okay. I think when you look around the NBA, as opposed to the NFL, the obviously with now the new thing is quarterbacks can play into their late 30s or early 40s. It, you can see it happen. You see the guys hang on, you know, you see Peyton Manning get the Super Bowl on his last legs. You see Tom Brady looking a little suspect. In the NBA, at least over the last, I'd say 15, 20 years, it's literally a cliff, you know. Kobe snaps his Achilles.
Yeah.
Like these guys, it's just one day they're there. The next day, you know, one part of their body gives up and they're whatever. So yeah, LeBron has for sure. Obviously he had the 1 year speed bump with the groin injury, never really recovered, you know, kind of pees away their first year on the Lakers. But obviously that also led to some fantastic changes in their coaching staff, in getting Anthony Davis, blah, 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 blah. LeBron, no sign of slowing down, but again, any, you know, knock on wood, hopefully nothing happens. Obviously I'm hoping he just stockpiles everything, but I'm going to say it. I think they get two more.
You think they get two more chips?
Yep. I think in 3 years together, I think they could repeat this year, maybe have one off and come back for one more, or potentially go three-peat and then, you know, the swan song year.
Wow.
I think it's easy and safe to say one more, because this year obviously you have Klay looks like missing the entire season again. A lot of confusion in where players are going to play. Obviously, we're going to talk about John Wall to Houston. So what does that mean for the James Harden to the Nets talk? But like, to me, right now, in the moves that have happened in the drafting of, like, who jumped? The Lakers have gotten, in my opinion,
better.
Significantly better.
I agree.
I don't know another – they won the championship. Did any team that was close to winning the championship get close to as much better as the Lakers have?
I mean, the Schroeder's a nice pickup. Gasol, you know, they're –
Montrez.
Montrez. How am I forgetting him? I mean, I agree. I think they got significantly better. Now, you never know how it plays out, right? We saw that with the Clippers, not to compare, but how guys mesh and how they play together as a team. But I do have confidence.
Schroeder's not coming in and determining their practice schedule. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Montrez is just going to be happy he doesn't have Doc Rivers anymore.
Yeah.
Frank Vogel, a competent NBA coach.
I mean, obviously the Lakers are the odds on favorite to repeat. And I think at this point,
the Clippers get worse. I mean, we're talking about the teams that competed. The Mavs get older, which is better for them. Obviously they're younger. The Nuggets get older, which is better for them. But like, no one made a leap.
I think at this point, maybe he needs one more title for this, but I think LeBron is in a way playing with house money because he got a chip his second year in Los Angeles. He's got four now. I think this title alleviates a lot of pressure for himself as far as his legacy.
Well, we all know, listen, we all know that the internet talks a lot.
Sure.
And LeBron hears it all because he references a lot of it in press conferences and he references a lot of it when people ask him about what he thinks about his career. I think LeBron James knows his legacy at this point, knows he has four rings, knows he's going to finish with the most points, knows he's going to finish as the best statistical player ever, but also knows literally the only thing that people have to argue against him is a gif of Kobe Bryant counting how many rings Shaq carried him to. And people saying Michael Jordan won six championships. And luckily for LeBron James, most of the internet generation has no idea that Bill Russell won 11 rings. So we don't have Bill Russell counting 11 rings gif, or else LeBron would really be in trouble. But the millennials out there who think no one won more championships than Michael Jordan at six, Robert Horry was seven, is that... You know, that's what he's chasing. So if he gets two more, good night and good luck. And I think he knows that.
Well, I think that's why I said, I think the one is very important, definitely to match Kobe. And plus that would give him 11 finals appearances. But, you know, I'll let the internet people do their thing. I'm going to stay out of it, Joe. I know you won't. I'm going to let them argue and fight. I think I know where I'm at personally as far as where I stand and where I've stood the last couple years. Anything he does as far as from a basketball perspective would just be icing on the cake for me. And
everybody knows where I've stood 4 years for when he had two championships.
Yeah.
And when he had three. And – there's a lot of NBA to talk and there's a lot of things to talk, but when we get to the NFL, I have a hot take there as well, along the lines of, you know, me jumping on an early LeBron bandwagon. But I think that they're the favorites. And I think that if LeBron's healthy, I don't see how they don't win this year. I mean, obviously anything can happen, but like, if I'm the Lakers, I'm not scared of a Durant, Kyrie, Nets team.
Yeah, I mean, again, they are going to be the favorites, but it's so tough to predict sports, as we know. I do it wrong all the time. The Ruther curse is real. So I would put, you know, gun to my head, of course. I think most people are going to say the Lakers. But let's transition into the big trade yesterday. Russell Westbrook is traded to Washington for John Wall and a 2023 first round protected pick.
I love it for the Rockets. I just do. I mean, on the surface, this is this pointing Spider-Man meme, right? Like on the surface, you're trading like precocious shot first point guard for precocious shot first point guard. But John Wall, way less me first dribble guy, just from a dribbling standpoint, than Westbrook. I just think John Wall fits a pairing with James Harden better.
Well, he's more of your traditional point guard.
Yeah. He's still not quite a traditional point guard. You know, he's still a modern point guard, but he's not Russell Westbrook in must dribble at the basket at all times.
Yeah.
But also they get a first round pick. I know it's protected, but you get a first round pick for it. And obviously the flip side of that would be, well, John Wall is injury prone. John Wall's been hurt. I mean, look, I saw somebody tweet yesterday, him 360 lefty dunking. Like, he's healthy right now. You know, does he stay healthy?
Yeah. We'll see. But to your James Harden point, he's gone, Joe. They're cleaning house.
So they're cleaning house, but they got John Wall?
Everything I've read, and I've been reading a lot, as much as I can, is pointing to James Harden's, like, this is the first step of a complete and utter rebuild and blow up of the Rockets team.
What are you doing that for then? What is the John Wall? Then why are you trading for John Wall?
I don't know, but I don't know if it was The Ringer or The Athletic. One of them today, of the articles that I read, was saying they'd be shocked if, again, this is just one writer's opinion, but these are insiders, so I do value their opinions, saying they'd be shocked if James Harden was on the team come opening day.
Wow. I mean, I would have said that a week ago, no doubt about it, because the stories are all out there that he wants to go, that he wants to go to Brooklyn, that he wants to go wherever. To me, it seemed like he was saying, at the very least, yes, I'd like to be traded, but I don't want to play with Russell Westbrook anymore. Trade Russ, trade me, trade both of us. I don't care. I don't want to do this anymore. But the thing is, I mean, I guess you get that first round pick back and the contracts are a wash. But I also feel like Russell Westbrook has value in terms of star power, in terms of whatever. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe they tried to trade him just for picks and just for, you know, future whatever. And they had, this is the only way to get the thing done financially, or the only taker they would have. But to me, it seemed like at least this was like a, we got rid of Russ. What do you think about you and John Wall? Like, I don't know. That to me, what it seemed like. To me, trading for John Wall to be your rebuilding point guard seems kind of crazy.
Well, and now he becomes the second Wall in the state of Texas to make a splash. Never forget the great early 2000s rapper, Paul Wall.
I have forgotten. I don't think I could pick Paul Wall out of a lineup.
Yeah, you could. You remember?
Is he white?
Yeah, he's white.
Okay.
You knew that much. He used to do some songs with Mike Jones, and then he had that big hit with Nelly.
Is he the one that got me blocked by the Black Lives Matter guy? Or was that like Riff Raff? I saw a picture of Sean King and was
it's
like,
Paul Wall.
I thought Sean King was Paul Wall this whole time.
You know the Nelly song Grills, right?
Sure.
You know, you hate like early 2000s rap.
I honestly kind of do, but also, and you know, this, I never
your
knew.
Your girl, I bet you're, hold on real quick. I bet you.
Oh, I know. I know she
loves that
song. She's probably singing it in the other room right now. you know, this might go to my, you know, my pseudo hatred of the flyovers too, but like none of that middle rap ever spoke to me either.
Texas? Like,
just any of it. Your Texas rap, your Missouri rap, your Carolinas rap, like all that stuff. Like,
what about Atlanta, man?
Sure, Atlanta, yeah, totally. Outkast, Ludacris, all that, like that worked. But like for me, it was like East Coast, West Coast. The West Coast rap is certainly secondary to me, but I appreciate it. But that middle stuff, like, you know, if you reference Waffle House in your shit, I'm out.
What about Chicago, man? Kanye.
Yeah, I like Kanye.
That's middle of the country, Joe Prano.
Yeah. Metropolitan area.
Middle of the country, bro.
Yeah.
Give a little love and respect. By the way, I did a podcast. The host, she put you on blast, the podcast I did recently.
Oh, really?
Well, she listened to the
episode. Out of nowhere?
No, she listened to the episode of you discussing the Midwest versus California.
And she was very upset. I assume she's a Midwesterner.
Yeah. I even made the joke. She's like, he's talking about Applebee's. And then she confessed that one of her first jobs was working at Applebee's. And I said, so he's kind of correct there.
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, it was pretty funny.
She's like, but the patrons are so nice. They'd always come in to see me. It was like a real, it was like a neighborhood bar.
Yeah, no, it was a fun podcast. I tweeted out, it's called What the Fit, but I did it. It was pretty funny that it was more of joking for the record, because yeah. Off air, she's like, dude, you know, I'm just messing around saying, yeah. Like, I don't like your co-host. Dude, Midwest people take it seriously, man.
Hey, listen, not the first time people have come at me for clout. The internet, I mean, have you seen our mentions lately? I don't know what it is. I don't know what I said on what podcast or what's happening, but like lately it's just like super angry. Like people just no reference angry, like starting burner accounts just to say I'm an asshole.
I saw one last night from some dude from Washington or Seattle.
Yeah.
Like telling you to suck a fat dick or something.
I know. This is like the 10th in like the last 2 weeks. Just random small accounts out of nowhere.
What do you think it is? What have you said?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I have no idea.
I can't wait till the Paul Wall fanboys come at you.
Yeah, yeah. Did I lose A. Millie? Oh, no. If I lose A. Millie, like I got nothing left. I got no stronghold in the South anymore.
Yeah. Well, Joe, back to the trade real quick. I don't think, you know, I don't think it currently does much for either team, like the 2020 no. season.
Well, it doesn't do anything for the Wizards. What are the Wizards now?
Yeah. I don't know.
I had two tweets yesterday. One, if Russell Westbrook's just going to stockpile empty stats on a Washington team nobody cares about, it's going to be hard for me not to call him Agent Zero.
No, I saw that, and I also saw you tweet a dig at Michael Jordan.
What do you mean, Michael? What was that one? Oh, the people will just pretend. Oh, I'm glad you knew that was about Michael Jordan.
Of course I know it was at Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Everybody knows it was at Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Because Michael Jordan's Wizards career never happened. If people are Michael Jordan, once he won, he never lost.
Hey,
except when he did.
Something we haven't talked about real quick before we leave our NBA discussion. The Raptors are going to play in Tampa Bay this year.
Tampa Bay winning. I mean, right? The hockey team, a World Series appearance, Tom Brady took a little bit of an L with Antonio Brown. But, like, you know, now you get the Raptors.
Why did they choose Tampa Bay? I know the cities in the running were Louisville, Kansas City. I think those were the other two big ones. Do you think it's the weather?
It probably.
Right?
And they're in the east, so, you know, easy commutes to Orlando, Miami, Charlotte, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, where would you rather be? I'd rather be in, like, if it's for an NBA Atlanta. Season.
Yeah, well.
Tampa Bay.
Sure.
Because it's going to be so cold in Toronto.
I think Louisville would have been a cool thing. And I said already, I thought Syracuse was the answer if you're just trying to keep it like
close. You
know, keep it close and keep some sort of. So now what? We the South?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I didn't realize how close it is to Orlando. When I was reading about it, it's only, I think it's under an hour. So the point is the players have familiarity with that area.
Right.
They were just there in the bubble.
Going to fish the same ponds at Epcot. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, as a player, it's got to suck, though, with your family. And I don't know how that relocation works.
Well, I mean, we just saw the thing with the, you know, was it Raheem Mostert on the Niners who, like, broke down at the press conference? And now they're headed to Arizona. Yeah. It's wild and it sucks, but like at the same time, like you said, they were just there, and the families, a lot of them were let into the bubble, so it's like, you know, as far as life goes, like NBA players can afford to rent a house for half a season, have their kids be in Tampa.
Yeah. Well, 2020 has been a year of cancellations, Joe, and as the holidays arrive, I think we'll all be saying farewell to one more tradition, work holiday parties.
Work holiday parties, canceled.
Yeah, I'm sure you know, Joe, those are usually not that much fun. They're awkward, they're uncomfortable, but luckily we have our friends at Miller Lite to get rid of the work holiday parties and get together with our real friends and celebrate the world's finest Pilsner, which I did with my own family. My sister-in-law, my brother Greg, and their son came over, and I told my brother Greg, we're setting up Christmas decorations. I'm going to get a 12-pack so you can have a couple Miller Lights while we enjoy setting up the Christmas tree like a Reuther family tradition. Guys, to celebrate all that extra Miller time with your real friends this season, whether it's virtual or not, get great tasting, less filling Miller Lite delivered by going to MillerLite.com to find the delivery options near you. Tis Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. You know what Miller Lite has, which I was looking on their website the other day, because like you guys, I was at MillerLite.com checking out the delivery options. They got those great ugly Christmas sweaters back.
Christmas sweaters, Christmas socks, Christmas, all the stuff.
Oh, you already looked.
Oh, as so many people have tagged me in it. I have a great Miller Lite Christmas sweater, but I think I might need to upgrade because, you know, I should definitely have two of these in my closet, just for sitting around the house.
Why don't I reach out to our friends and see if we can,
absolutely do that, Andy.
See if you and I can get one of those. Prano, NFL has had a lot of good news this week as far as ratings. Wow. Dude, the NFL is such king, Prano. I swear, man, it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy to me. And I know we discussed ratings a lot and how it's an antiquated system, but the ratings for these awful Thanksgiving games were through the roof. The Cowboys-Washington game, I should say, over 30 million viewers. Houston-Detroit, over 23 million. And then The Athletic had a great article as far as Patrick Mahomes games. Obviously, everybody wants to watch him. He's must-see TV. The Patrick Mahomes games have just been getting insane ratings.
And yeah, I mean, for the Thanksgiving thing, first of all, obviously without the parade, I think there's just a tradition, right? Even if you're not watching for real, it's just a tradition to have football on in the background during Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked about the antiquated systems of ratings. I'm sure the 25 people that they base all ratings on who have Nielsen boxes in the Midwest, like they'll probably 24 out of 25 of them tune into that. They go, oh, well, what else am I going to put on? It's Thanksgiving. So I'm not really surprised.
Yeah.
I know that some of the backs of the helmets say end racism. So I'm surprised that didn't derail the holiday ratings, but,
well, what is that accomplishing?
What is any of it accomplishing?
I mean, that's a fair question.
Like, but we've said this before. What do pink gloves accomplish?
I 100% agree. A camo
thing. Sleeve. Yeah.
But that's my point. It reminds me, I love this. I'm going to bring it up actually. It reminds me of this great, Malcolm X quote where he says, the white man will try to satisfy us with symbolic victories rather than economic equity and real justice. It's a pretty good quote.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there is, despite people's hatred of it, I think, you know, the NBA, I would say it, like, I think the conversation is an accomplishment in a sense about this stuff. Like, and I also think that there's, you know, from the NBA thing, it's an accomplishment to be able to say, hey, look at this guy who said, I'm not watching the NBA playoffs because I'm sick of black people wanting equality. You go, okay, well, at least we can put you on a list. But like, obviously the NFL has long avoided caring about its players, trying to give equality to its players. I mean, they blackball Kaepernick. Like, yeah, the sliver at the back of the helmet thing that says end racism in the NFL, yeah, it accomplishes nothing. But the NFL is going like, we're going to do as little as we can to pretend we're participating, but also not piss off the people who only want to see Cialis commercials and will write letters.
Well, it was the same way with bringing women into the fold. They use that same, in my opinion, technique for the breast cancer stuff.
And also, look, when they do have PR things, where are the black and white domestic violence commercials? We ran those for 2 years after Ray Rice knocked his girlfriend out in an elevator. And now did we solve domestic violence in the NFL?
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, man, from a business model, they are just like, no one touches them. And it goes back to the show must go on, right? We're seeing it right now. We're seeing the Baltimore Ravens without a starting quarterback, without their top two running backs. We're seeing the Denver Broncos pull a guy basically off the street. It is absolutely wild. And I know you said it all along.
Did I not say before the season started that you would be starting a quarterback for the Packers before they would cancel a game?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers doesn't mean anything to them.
No.
Tom Brady doesn't mean anything to them.
We're talking about a guy who had never played a snap in the NFL, started at quarterback for Denver. That's how much the NFL doesn't care about player safety.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're a white dude, a black dude, a Samoan dude. Like, they literally just care about the bottom line, which is money.
And also for the NFL ratings. What's going on right now?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Not much.
Zero things.
So I found this story to be interesting, and this goes to show also the power. This kind of ties in with what we're discussing, the power of the owners. This is how I took it. Tyrod Taylor will not file a grievance against the Chargers for puncturing his lung, which to me, again, just shows, I don't know, again, this is my opinion. I'm not saying it's true. I take this as there is so much fear from the players, from the ownership, or being blackballed, or being cast out. And obviously Tyrod Taylor's a backup, but he still probably makes millions. He doesn't even file a grievance, even though somebody...
He who shall not be named thinks he's actually the starter, and when his lung heals, he'll be back.
Think about that, Joe. Somebody punctures your lung because they administer the shot in the wrong location and you don't file a grievance. The only reason you're not doing that is because you can't even when somebody directly affects your health, you don't want to file a grievance because you're so scared of the shield.
Yeah. And also, and like that's the thing is Tyrod Taylor is a guy who really, like, at this point he's proven that he hasn't proven anything, and like, but people keep signing Tyrod Taylor, and not only that, keep starting Tyrod Taylor for, you know, six quarters before they realize that they've made a terrible, grave mistake, and then they try to murder him so that they can put in another guy. But Tyrod Taylor knows someone out there is going to give him another job.
Yeah,
someone out there will hire him this offseason to be on their roster. Unless, of course, he files a lawsuit against the NFL. And then we know what happens if you file a lawsuit against the NFL. Then suddenly Tyrod Taylor doesn't want to play football. And he's more interested in being a spokesman for malpractice. And then John Elway will be like, I told Tyrod Taylor he could come here and be a running back, but he didn't want to.
My new theme song for you. I swear I've said this before on the show. It's Frozen. Let It Go, man.
But that's not me, Andy. I won't let it go.
But you know what you should do? Because my therapist actually was recommended to me by you, and he's been great for me. You should start seeing him again.
I'm good.
You think you're good?
Yeah.
Can I be your therapist? Can I be your online, your podcast therapist? Let's talk about it, Joe.
Sure.
Why are you holding on? Why can't you just let it go?
No, it's important because essentially what happened is you have said, look at what happened to Tyrod Taylor, and look what happens with the NFL pretending it's part of, you know, putting the little thing on the back of the helmets that really does nothing.
Sure.
My point is just sometimes – and everybody comes around, and it happened with LeBron, and it happened with whatever. But like, eventually everybody gets to the point where they go, oh, the NFL doesn't really care at all. Oh my God, the NFL's making a football game happen on Wednesday even though a bunch of players have it, and then these teams have to turn around and play against the, like, man, the NFL just doesn't give a shit. And I'm going, my point is, guys, the breadcrumb trail is there.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get you guys to eat the breadcrumbs for years and years and years and years. And when you talk about it, Andy, we have a lot of fans of this show who have been around for a long time who we have these conversations with. And people go, oh no, this wasn't happening. This LeBron James isn't this, the NFL isn't this. And so the let it go isn't, it's not me saying that I can't let it go. It's me reminding people, you all argued with me. And now that they've finished painting the picture and you can see it, I just like to remind people, I knew what they were drawing from the beginning, guys.
Well, you know, if anyone was defending the NFL caring about players, come on. I mean, that's ridiculous to ever believe that. I mean, this game yesterday, what do you make of that game, Joe? What a weird, the whole thing is just so bizarre. We've almost entered a Twilight Zone version of the National Football League at this point. It's just odd. And that was just a sloppy, bad game. Don't you agree?
Of course it was. The starting quarterback of one team was out. They were playing Wednesday night football. They were playing
NBC, after school.
The NBC on NFL Sunday night football, Thursday night version, Wednesday edition, Wednesday afternoon edition. Shout out to my manager. She made that joke online. But like, how many times can you guys rebrand? We don't care about the NFL players, so this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna, like, dude, you're playing without, how many teams play without their starting quarterback?
And their starting running backs.
Yeah.
What I think they needed to do was, you know, Carrie Underwood does the Sunday night football. I think they needed to bring out some like C teamer. Like who's the C teamer for Carrie Underwood to sing it?
Who's the Wednesday afternoon version of Carrie Underwood's Sunday night football version?
You know who it is? Because it's who I used to watch probably around that time, 3:40 p.m. when I got home from school. It's the Lisa Turtle or Jesse Spano. They needed to be singing it because when I got home from school, I'd be watching Saved by the Bell.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch getting ready for Wednesday afternoon football.
I never watched that show. The Ruther Brothers, I did have to alert my fellow brothers that
Topanga from Boy Meets World singing the Wednesday afternoon. Are you ready for Wednesday afternoon football?
I think she
I've been waiting not much of the day for Wednesday early afternoon.
I think she married a former guest of the show, Jensen Karp.
Who did? Topanga?
Topanga did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
By the way, I had to tell my brothers that Lisa Turtle turned white. And
I don't even know what that means.
So Lisa Turtle she went full Sammy Sosa.
Oh, okay. Like a bleached situation?
Yeah, it's really rough. And I might have exaggerated a little. This is when we were watching the Mike Tyson fight. So I don't know why we're talking about Saved by the Bell, but we are. And I say, Lisa's white now. I said, pull up your phone and Google it. I go, it will crush your soul. And my brother Greg was like, crush my soul? A little bit of exaggeration there. But he kept bringing it up throughout the fight. He's like, dude, I can't believe this. And I'm like, see, it's crushing your soul because you had a crush on her. Like, because we used to debate as brothers. And it was usually Kelly Kapowski. But there were still big debates of like, which Saved by the Bell girl would you want the most? Or why would you want them? And that's why her going full white, never go full white, never go full white. She went full white. And now she's not even in the new Saved by the Bell reboot, by the way.
Yeah. She should have done what Mario Lopez did and started drinking the blood of children to never age a single day. And then she could have played herself in high school.
Yeah. I did see the ratings for that Tyson fight, by the way.
How were they?
Pretty good. I guess they're saying it's because of Logan Paul's, you know, YouTube following. It got over 1.2 million pay-per-view buys.
Okay. So like 50 million bucks.
Not bad.
Yeah.
For a novelty
boxing match.
Yeah. I want to see Drago fight Stallone. I want to see actual
Ooh.
How about that match?
I like it.
Right?
If we're doing old guy boxing now.
Yeah. Stallone's in his 70s.
If they both die of heart attacks, they die.
You want to look at this week's NFL games, which at this point, I don't even know the days, times. I got to pull it up. We're all over the map, right, with just the changing of the schedules.
I didn't wait at all for Wednesday afternoon because I woke up right when the game started.
Joe, as always, this week's NFL picks are brought to you and all the dirt balls by our friends at Game Theory Picks, who provide profitable sports betting advice at an affordable price. The following subscriptions are available. You can get a weekly, monthly, or yearly. Since sports came back at the end of July, Game Theory clients have profited in 5 straight months. A $50 per play better is now up over $1,900. Black Friday was last week, but guess what, Dirtballs? We're extending this deal with our friends at Game Theory Picks to this Friday. They're making it easier than ever to join their team. So right now, Dirtballs can get a first 30 days of Game Theory Picks for just $30. That includes every sport. So right now, visit GameTheoryPicks.com. Do this before Friday and use promo code BLACKFRIDAY. That's one word. To cash in on this deal now. Once again, go to GameTheoryPicks.com and use promo code BLACKFRIDAY to cash in on this great deal now. And I know you're going to need their help. I know I do, especially with the craziness of this season. There is no Thursday night game, Joe.
I'm aware.
Okay.
But there's no Thursday night game because Thursday nights are over? Because we're in December or no?
No.
A game was moved from Thursday.
Yeah.
Got it.
By the way, I'm seeing in the YouTube comments, I said Jake Paul. It's Logan Paul who fought, I guess.
The Chris Paul, Logan Paul, Paul Wall, Paul Reiser. Not going to work here anymore, that's for sure. Who gives a shit?
Paula Poundstone.
Yeah.
How about that deep cut? Who got that reference?
Paula Poundstone?
You think over or under 3 people?
Over.
Over.
I always like to remind myself that we do have older dirt balls that just aren't as active in the social media community.
True. All right, Joe. The Taysom Hill is gonna be on the road now. He's gonna go down to Atlanta where they are 3-point favorites. Now Hill has not looked really that good, to be honest.
No. It was way too close a game, at least for a little while, when the other team didn't have a quarterback in Denver.
They've won because their defense, and I don't want to give their defense too much credit against a guy who literally just came off the practice field, but their defense is playing great. And I want to say something before you make your pick. We've talked a lot about Bill Belichick in that the Patriots entering this year without Brady were 14-6, so a 70% winning percentage. Look, man, Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill, I'm not trying to take a dig at Drew Brees, but these are the facts. The Saints now in the last year without Drew Brees are 7-0. Can we give some more love to Peyton? Because it seems like his scheme and his offense that he's running in New Orleans might be greater than Drew Brees at this point. I don't know. It's a discussion.
Well, here's what I'll say. I was very impressed with what Bridgewater was able to do last year. Bridgewater won some big games. Bridgewater won some games against some real opponents. So far, the Taysom Hill experiment is 2 games in. He played a wildcat game in Denver. Who did they beat the first week with Taysom Hill?
Who did they beat? Because I watched that game. Was that Atlanta as well?
Was it Atlanta?
It was.
Okay. So Atlanta last week comes and blows out the Raiders. Atlanta, I'm not going to pick Atlanta in this game. Okay? Because I'm done being screwed by Atlanta, although even when I don't pick against them, they find a way to screw me. But I'll say this. Atlanta could win this game. And it's hard for me to say, like, the Taysom Hill experiment proves something versus what the Teddy Bridgewater thing is, because so far you're beating Atlanta, a Denver team without a quarterback, potentially Atlanta again. Like, I want to see Taysom Hill with this Saints team against a somewhat good football team. And God forbid he loses this week to the Falcons.
Well, look, man. I know I'm going to get jinxed because they jinx us both all the time. I'm going to go with the Falcons to
love it only, because that helps me
to not only win, not only cover, win. They're at home. Obviously, they had a great game last week from both sides of the ball against the Raiders. But I like the Falcons. I think Taysom Hill, if he's going to win this game, he's going to have to play a lot better. And for that reason, I'm taking the Falcons for my upset.
This is after you slurp the Sean Payton. You do a Sean Payton Bill Belichick comparison. You're like, can we talk about whether or not Sean Payton's better than Bill Belichick?
I think they lose
to Atlanta.
I think Atlanta overcomes Sean Payton's greatness.
Okay.
All right. The Lions travel to Chicago, where the Bears are 3-point favorites. I mean, this is just a game I want no part of.
Yeah.
Who you got?
The Lions travel to Chicago. Who's the favorite?
The Bears.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. I'll take the Bears. Are we doing a non-Matt Patricia Detroit Lions road bump? I'll take the Bears.
I'll take the God, I just hate picking Trubisky. I'll take the Lions. All right, big game this week.
Free Matt Stafford. That's all we have to say about that.
Yeah, big game this week in Nashville.
By the way, before we move on from that, we talked the last episode about moving quarterbacks. I've talked a lot. I'm on the free Matt Stafford campaign. What about free Matt Stafford? Send him to Chicago.
Ooh. Keep it in the division?
Yeah.
I think
he's used to playing all those teams. He's used to playing outdoors. Is this maybe this is the Matt Stafford show out in Chicago game?
I think Matt Stafford wants to go anywhere but Detroit at this point.
Yeah.
The Browns are 8-3. The Titans are 8-3, and they're playing in Nashville this week. But Las Vegas does not have much faith in the Browns, Joe. 5.5-point dogs. The Browns are crazy this year because you know what? The Browns, they're 8-3.
Yeah.
I've never seen a team like nobody's talking. I feel like in the years past, if the Browns were 8-3, people would be going nuts.
How many teams have a better record than are there two teams, three teams? The Pittsburgh has a better record than 8-3.
The Chiefs
and the Chiefs. That's it, right?
That's it.
Everybody else has at least three losses.
Correct.
Where are the Packers at right now? The Packers are 8-3.
Correct.
9-3.
They're 8-3. And that's my point. No one's talking about the Browns. Now, I know that they've mostly won against bad competition.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot easier when you're going against the NFC East and you get Cincinnati twice. You know, that's five wins right there. But they are finding ways to win games.
I don't think that they win this game. I think the Titans found something last week. But I'll tell you what. I think that the Titans' strategy of pounding Derrick Henry, the Cleveland offense being built around limiting Baker Mayfield and running the ball a lot, I like the under in this game, and I like the Browns because I think the spread's too big.
I like the Browns, too, for the spread. I like Tennessee to win. I'm going to pose a question to you, though. This is year three of the Baker Mayfield experiment. I believe he has one more year on that rookie contract. Will Baker Mayfield be a member of the Cleveland Browns come 2022 season?
Yes.
I think he has to really show. Now, he cut down on the turnovers from last year, but I think he really has to show again improvement coming down this stretch in the next year?
I mean, I think, you know, there's so much that goes into this. What are the other options?
Sure.
You know, I don't think you draft a quarterback if you're Cleveland. You're building something great there. You're not going to have a super high draft pick. You're going to draft a quarterback at 15 or whatever. You're going to draft a quarterback in the second round as a Baker. No. So unless there's, you know, unless with the way guys start to move around, you see a better option out there that you can get on value. But even in that case, you almost bring that guy in on a contract. Like, then it becomes a question of like, what does Baker want? Baker's doing Hulu commercials and whatever. Is Baker demanding the Wentz Goff deal? Because no. Maybe he is, you know? And then that's a totally different question. Like, if Cleveland's like, Baker wants to be the highest paid quarterback in football, I'll be like, take a fucking hike, you know? Right. But if Baker, you know, if Baker's signing some reasonable deal, or if Baker, whatever, like, it's all about winning games. And right now they're doing that.
Yeah. I still give the Browns very little chance to win a playoff game.
To win a playoff game.
Correct.
I mean, who would they be matched up against in a playoff game right now if the season ended today? They wouldn't have a home game.
No. Let me pull it up here. If the playoffs started today, they would be going to Buffalo. That'd be a good game.
Yeah.
I still would put my money on the Bills.
I'd like Buffalo at home, sure, but you wouldn't be like, oh my God, the Browns, how'd they do it?
Although home field advantage won't really matter much these playoffs.
Yeah.
All right. The Bengals travel to Miami, where the Dolphins are 11.5-point favorite. Your boy Fitz going against Brandon Allen, backup Bengals quarterback. 11.5.
Seems crazy. The Bengals didn't look good last week against the Giants. Obviously, the Giants have Danny Dimes go down mid-third quarter. Probably cover that game as they were in control of it if he doesn't. 11.5 is ludicrous. I'll take the Bengals. Take your Bengals.
It is ludicrous. That's why I'm going to take the Dolphins. You know, they stayed in that game last week. It was at home. I think it was maybe a rally game. The backup's in. You know, they're playing for Burrow. I think they get waxed. I think it's a blowout in Miami.
Okay.
And if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan, because I know we have a fair amount of listeners, don't support the team. Join my cause. Do not support the Bengals until Mike Brown sells the team. Don't give him a dollar.
So basically, don't support it. Like, he's not selling the team.
Don't ever buy a piece of Bengals merchandise. Don't attend a game at Paul Brown Stadium. As long as the Brown family owns the team.
You know, Justin Wood is sitting in a Browns or in a Bengals robe with Bengals slippers on right now, listening to the show on Bengals headphones, drinking out of a Bengals coffee mug. And he's like, I'm out.
I just don't get it, man. I just don't get it. But like, obviously now that I live here, you know, I'm reading more of the local Cincinnati Inquirer. You see these editorial, like these local beat writers. I seriously, I'm not joking. I'm going to start a movement here. There is no defending of this ownership. There's no defending of it. None at all. And I know they do it because they're all cucks and they're scared and they want access to the players or access to the team. And they don't want to talk trash about the owner, because if that happens, then they won't get access and they won't get certain privileges. I don't care. I'm the outsider who's back, bitches.
You should write a Cincinnati Inquirer, editorial letter. Send it in.
You know what, Prano? And I'm going to find it. I don't know where it's at. I wrote an article in college I took a sports and literature class. It was a really cool class. I think I talked about it. Books that were written about sports or, you know, whatever it was, something like that. And I wrote, one of my papers was about the Bengals in 2003 when they went 2-14, or 2002, whatever year that was. But nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. I've been gone. The prodigal son has returned. I've been gone 20 years.
The irony of you with the let it go. You gave up. You became a Rams fan like 4 years ago at this point. You will not let go the Bengals. You're like, I'm done with the Bengals. I don't want anything to do with the Bengals. Now you're going to go into fucking storage and find papers you wrote about the Bengals so you can Xerox them and send them to the Cincinnati Inquirer.
Okay, that's a fair point. But you know what? I'm back.
Let it go.
No, this is where I'm from. I won't let it go. All right, the Jags and Vikings. Let's just move through this.
You need to start a second podcast where you just do, you know, a really short thing. Half hour of you talking to local Bengals fans at Applebee's when they open it back up. Just like this week in Bengals football.
Ooh, not a bad idea.
2 for 20. Two people for 20 minutes talking about the Bengals over the 2 for 20 appetizer special.
I'll tell you what, that is a great cross promotion, Prano.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant marketing idea.
Yeah. Get Applebee's to pay for it.
Yeah.
2 for 20. Two people talking about two Bengals topics over the 2 for 20 Applebee's special.
I'm already seeing the reviews. People are like, you know, it was cool at first, but literally every episode, all this guy does is talk shit about the Bengals and about Mike Brown. Played out. 1 out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
Hooday.
I did like his Dougarita review, though. His version Dougarita.
What?
You don't know about the Dougarita? The Mountain Dew margarita?
No.
I don't think it's at Applebee's. I think it's like some other shitty Midwest chain like Red Lobster or something.
Dougarita?
A Mountain Dew margarita.
That is the most white trash shit I've ever heard.
I know.
There's only one person I know who drinks Mountain Dew. It's my older brother, Brad, and he is such a hillbilly.
Yeah.
By the way, he went off. Off. Dude, he, I don't, what do you call somebody who goes off about people not wearing masks, but he is also a former in combat soldier who's a lunatic? Like, he's not a Karen. What is he?
I don't know.
But he goes corporate, bro. You want to hear this quick story?
Yes, I do. You know, I'm like, mask Karen's getting thrown out of store. Like, that's my porn. I love that. My only thing to watch on the internet that makes me happier than that is like those videos when people who like know constitutional law, like fuck with the police. That shit gets me very excited.
So one of the big chains around here, it's basically a 7-Eleven version for Cincinnati, is United Dairy Farmers. They just call it UDF. So Carl Linder, former Reds owner, he sold the team, I don't know, like 10 years ago, but he owned the team for a bunch of years. He's the one who bought it from Marge Schott. You know, he's a billionaire, whatever. He owns Chiquita Banana. He owns United Dairy Farm. He owns a lot of businesses, right? Great American Family Insurance, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he owns UDFs and they're all over town, right? My brother goes into a UDF yesterday, probably to get Mountain Dew. And there's some younger kid not wearing a mask, maybe, I don't know, 18, 19 years old. He says, put a mask on or leave. Guy doesn't do anything. He just looks at my brother and he goes, I said, put a mask on or leave. He stares at my brother again, doesn't know what to do. My brother's always draped in army stuff. So again, it's kind of a confusing thing. So you're like, wait, the guy wearing the army football?
Are you literally the mask police?
Yeah. So the guy stares at my brother, then he leaves. Then my brother says to the clerk, who's like some 19-year-old kid, like, what are you doing? You can't let people in here without a mask. And to be honest, I do feel bad for the clerks because, dude, they're making $10 an hour. It's not their job to be security.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I understand what he's saying, but, you know, some punk kid.
I mean, to be totally honest with you, it's real easy because it's happened to me here. Like when I went into a coffee shop in Venice, like right after this thing started and they were just like, hey, we can't serve you without a mask. So you got to get a mask or you got to come back. Like I forgot my mask. And it's like, that's all you got to say, really. It's not like you got to like police people. It's just like, we can't serve you without.
Sure. And I agree with you, but that's also LA. I think people are going to be more civil about that than Cincinnati, Ohio. So anyway, my brother walks outside and he sees it's a few other kids in their truck.
I love this. I wish your brother had filmed this for you.
And they're scared though of him. You can see they're not one to go in. And
I'm scared of your brother. I wasn't even there. I was 14 states away.
And this is the best part. My brother is there with his with his son and daughter. I got 2 9-year-old niece and nephew twins. And the kids had just been hunting. So there's a dead deer in the back of their truck. So this is the type of clientele we have. But they're still scared shitless of my brother, even though they're probably strapped, but God knows my brother's strapped, right? And as my brother gets in his car.
It's the duel at UDF. I'll meet you at UDF at dawn. Bring your pistol.
As my brother gets in his car, they finally have the balls to go in. And the one guy says to my brother, he gives him the middle finger, and then he says, "Mind your own business, fucker." And my brother says to me, he's like, "These kids, if they knew what I could unleash on them if I wanted to." And I'm like, "Wait, and your kids are watching all this?" Which to me is the funniest part. Oh, but my brother
doesn't. Get in the back seat and put your head down. Dad's about to unleash a world of pain.
But here's the best part. My brother will do that stuff, but he doesn't stop there. He goes to corporate. He goes home. He calls the corporate UDF headquarters and also emails them. And then on top of that, there's a hotline where you can call if people aren't doing the mask. I bet every city has this, right? So there's a hotline in Cincinnati for businesses if they're not obeying the law. He also calls and emails the hotline. So he went home, 2 emails and 2 phone calls. Lunatic.
I feel like your brother should work. Like, I know it, like he would be far from considered like a Democrat, but I feel like Biden should like have him be like his official mask mandate guy.
You say that, but I know Democrats my brother has voted for because of personal beefs with the Republicans.
Love it.
Like his vote is at this point, you'd say, oh, he's a big Republican. But the more I talk to him and get to know him, you're like, you're just kind of a lunatic. I love this plan of Biden hiring.
Yeah.
Him just walking around the country.
And like his press conferences, like the, you know, the head of the mask department. He's just like, "I just want everybody to know that you guys should, it's very important. It's not a national mask mandate. We're not forcing you to wear it. We can't legally require you to wear it. But if you don't, I will kick your fucking ass." You're like, "What? Wait, hold on. What is your? I will find you and I will kill you." She's going full Taken.
He's like he's like a John Wick, but with masks. He's just going around just kicking dudes' asses.
Yeah.
All right. Back to some football. Jags, Vikings. The Vikings are 10-point favorites in Minneapolis. I'm going to go Jags.
What did the Jags? Yeah. You know what? I'll go Vikings. Vikings, they lose a couple weeks ago to the Cowboys. Officially seals their fate pretty much. Now they're just going to win a bunch of games they shouldn't big. I'll go with the Vikings.
All right. Raiders travel to New York where they are 8.5-point favorites. Do we expect a big Raiders bounce back game?
No, but we expect a cover because just enjoy the stacks of money betting against the Jets.
Yeah, I agree. Always bet against the Jets. All right, moving right along. Colts, Texans in Texas. The Colts are 3.5-point favorites. The Texans have kind of picked it up the last few weeks.
I'm going to go with the Texans. I don't love like the future of the Texans. I mean, obviously, Bill O'Brien leaving is a huge boost for them.
Wait, Bill O'Brien was fired?
Yeah. Bill O'Brien getting fired is a huge boost for them. But I think, you know, I just think this game is close. We both predicted a Titans win over the Colts last week. A huge win. I just feel like even if the Colts come back and win this game, it's going to be a dogfight. I like the Texans to at least keep it close. I'm going to go with Houston.
I agree. I'm going to go with Houston as well. All right. Moving along to the NFC, we got the Rams. This will be a good game. Very important game for this division, especially if the Rams want to keep pace with the Seahawks. The Rams travel to Arizona where they are 2.5-point favorites. Now, Arizona's lost 2 in a row, Joe.
I'm going to
go with the Cardinals.
I'm going to go with the Cardinals too. I mean, obviously it was a bad game for the Rams last week, but I just don't like how they looked last week. And I was on the Rams this year. I thought they would get a bounce back. I thought they had a down season, Super Bowl hangover. It was more than Goff. I mean, I think we both agree they win that game if Goff plays better, but it was more than Goff. And the Cardinals are significantly better than the Niners at this point, especially with all the injuries. You know, Niners don't even have a starting quarterback. I'm going with a bounce back game for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I am as well. I think Cardinals win the game. All right, your Giants. Who's playing quarterback for you guys this week?
I believe Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy takes his talents to Seattle. Seattle didn't look particularly amazing against Philly in an odd game, a game where, again, I didn't like some of these. I hated Carroll going for it, start the game on fourth and one.
Agreed.
Take the points.
Agree, especially in that game, especially in a game that you know.
It's going to be ugly.
But yeah, my problem with it is like Philadelphia's offense is trash garbage. It's a dumpster filled with garbage on fire, floating down a river that's on fire, floating towards a, you know, outlet into an ocean that's on fire. It's garbage. So the idea that like you don't take 3 points is crazy to me.
Not as crazy as the fourth downs that Doug Peterson attempted with Carson Wentz.
Doug Peterson doesn't know what he's doing.
He's so bad.
I've said that the whole time, and I said that again. I will repeat what I've said. He had a insane run where he just kept hitting. He was playing blackjack, and he kept hitting on 16 and getting fives for an entire season, and they won the Super Bowl. That doesn't mean it was the right call before that. It doesn't mean it's the right call after. Prior to the Doug Peterson Super Bowl season, as a Giants fan, I was like, I love this guy. He is so dumb with his decisions. And they all came together and they won a Super Bowl. Doug Peterson has lost. The only two that Doug Peterson will not go for is Jalen Hurts. Like, put fucking Jalen Hurts in. Or don't, honestly. I'm a Giants fan, so keep Carson Wentz forever. Give him an extension. Going back to this game, though.
10-point favorite, Seattle.
I'm sad. I think that this would have been a very – win or lose, it would have been a very nice measuring stick for the Giants with Daniel Jones. But at the same time, tough to obviously travel to Seattle and win. Seattle's a better team than the Giants. But it would have been nice to see where they're at. And, you know, you kind of pencil in a loss, but I just think it would have been a great game to see where they're at. Now we have Colt McCoy. I just think the offense isn't going to be able to do enough with Colt McCoy. 10 still seems high to me, especially since the Giants will probably run the shit out of the ball and slow this game down. But I'm going to go with Seattle.
Yeah, me too. I think the defense will keep them in the game, but I think ultimately I'd be shocked if the Giants had more than 10 points.
And I got to say, as much as I was excited to see where the Giants were at with Daniel Jones, like you don't force Daniel Jones back. You don't rush him back early for a game that you probably don't win with him. I don't want to say that they couldn't win with him, but you probably don't win with him still. So I'm glad that Daniel Jones isn't missing a game against a team that they might lose to simply because they don't have him. So get healthy. It's a tough week for the NFC East in general. I don't think anybody, you know, no easy wins out there on the schedule. So you just got to hope that you're in first place still after this week's over.
Yeah, the Eagles travel to Green Bay. They are 8.5-point dogs. I am going to ride Aaron Rodgers and that offense all the way to cover.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it could be a game that seems like the Eagles cover the whole time. It's, you know, that they're in it per se, but I just don't think that I just think that Eagles offense is bad and that Packers offense is great. And I just think that they pull away at the end.
Yeah. The Patriots travel to Los Angeles where the Chargers, that game is even right now. So who do you got?
I'm going to go with the Chargers simply because every time the Patriots show me a little something, give me a little taste. I go, well, here we go, get a little something. And then they let me down. The Patriots have yet to show up when I think they will. And I think that they will this week, and therefore I'm betting against them. In fact, I may actually put a little money against them.
God, Cam Newton's thrown four touchdown passes this year. Four.
Yeah.
Four touchdowns to nine interceptions. That's so bad. Is he in the league next year?
Yeah, somewhere.
Starting or backing up?
I don't know. Mike Freeman thinks he might be the MVP. Let it go. Let it go.
When did Mike Freeman say that?
A Prano never forgets. Last year. The start of last year when he was on the Panthers. Cam was an MVP candidate for 7 weeks, and then he blocked me for saying he was a fucking lunatic.
God, I really would hate to date you, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd never forget. Like, it's crazy. Although you do the same with me. It's basically doing a show with you is in a weird way, like that type of relationship.
Sure is, Andy.
I mean, you'll never let me forget my awful Johnny Manziel take. Pretty bad, right?
I mean, some things at some point I do eventually let him go. Like, we, you know, every once in a while I'll bring up your Kobe Bryant killer instinct, but like, we've let that go.
Did I use that? Was that one of my arguments?
Yeah, you were just like, I don't know, just clutch killer instinct. I was like, man, you gotta dig deep into some of these facts. Yeah, I recommend you look at the facts only.
That was a 2014 Andy Reuther take.
Yeah.
That's a bad take, man. Is that what's real quick? What's my worst take?
I mean, I don't think the Johnny Manziel take is that bad. It's like, you know, I saw a lot of reasons, and I'm not a big college football guy, where like Johnny Manziel wouldn't work out, but like, you weren't the only person that thought Johnny Manziel would be good. Honestly, I think 2014 taking Kobe Bryant over LeBron James, it's up there. It's up there.
Which is the same year I made the Johnny Manziel take.
Right.
2014, a year of bad takes.
Hot take, Andy Reuther. You're coming out of the gate, new podcast, laying it on the line.
Jesus. Bad takes. Okay.
Like going back and seeing pictures of like what you wore in college, you're like, geez.
Yeah.
Was I wearing carpenter jeans? I don't know. We got to destroy these pictures.
All right. The Broncos. I don't even know
who's carrying a hammer. When was I bringing a hammer with me places?
The Broncos travel to Kansas City. They're 14-point dogs. I'm going to go Kansas City. I don't care who's playing quarterback for the Broncos.
I'm going to go Kansas City as well. And it's time for hot take. If Patrick Mahomes wins the MVP this year and they win the Super Bowl, he's my GOAT.
I knew that's what you were going to say.
In terms of what Patrick Mahomes has done, how quickly he's done it, the team success combined with the personal numbers. I'm talking about, we're not talking about legacy. I'm just saying.
A legacy, yo.
If he comes back and he goes back-to-back Super Bowls, I'm talking about, this is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. And again, this is the LeBron James thing where, you know, people were on me when I'm like, oh, he's the greatest basketball player I've ever seen. Oh, he's only got two rings. He's only got one ring. He's only got whatever. It's like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if he does this and he accomplishes this, and God forbid he decides to walk away from the game forever, and you go, you have one quarterback to start a franchise around in the history of the game, I'm going Patrick Mahomes.
Well, look. I think he's the greatest quarterback anyone's ever seen. But to give him a GOAT status after starting 3 years in the NFL, I can't do that.
I'm saying if you start 3 years.
Because longevity is part of it. We agree, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm just saying, I'm again, we're talking about he didn't win the MVP. He got hurt last year and didn't win the MVP. But he did win the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl MVP. The year before, he sets passing records and wins the MVP. Gets the AFC Championship game. Tough call. You know, they lose to the Patriots, blah, 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 blah. But year one starting, He comes out, he wins the MVP, he goes to the AFC Championship game. Year two, he gets hurt, doesn't have the season accolades, but wins the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl MVP. This year, he comes out, plays, if he plays the whole season, wins the MVP. Like, that's, like, to me, it's like, he's there with the, like, you can't say, oh, this is what is Patrick Mahomes missing? Patrick Mahomes is missing nothing.
He's missing the longevity is what he's missing.
Okay. But
again, I think to me, there is a distinction between the greatest we've ever seen.
If Patrick Mahomes wins a Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP this year, he'll be one of four guys to ever do that. To win two Super Bowl MVPs. It's Brady, it's Bradshaw, Montana, Manning, Eli, and Mahomes. He'd be one of five. So you're already in year three of him being a starter. I'm saying, again, if he does this, not a sure thing, but it's trending in that direction. They're going to be a tough out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's my point. If Patrick Mahomes follows up an MVP year, a Super Bowl MVP year, and then this year they lose in the first round, okay, I'm not on the Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT thing yet. But here's the other thing about Patrick Mahomes. Okay? We have talked forever, and I've talked forever, about the balance. The league's leading passer has never won the Super Bowl. And that's because 2 years ago, Patrick Mahomes doesn't get to the Super Bowl. Last year, Patrick Mahomes gets hurt. Patrick Mahomes is... The Chiefs are the Super Bowl favorite with the offense that's built around Patrick Mahomes. You don't really see that. So to have a guy who's dominating the position, pass first offense, the whole thing is him. And if they go back to back, I mean, if Patrick Mahomes throws for 5,000 yards this year and they win the Super Bowl, he'll be the second player in NFL history to have 4,500 yards and win the Super Bowl. The other one, of course, being Eli Manning. No big deal.
Why do you do this to me?
I'm just saying that's the thing about the balance and the dominance. The MVP years isn't when Rodgers wins the Super Bowl. The MVP years isn't when Brady wins the Super Bowl. Isn't when, you know, like...
I mean, it's happened.
Yeah, it's happened, but I'm saying the guy who has the most gaudy stats has never won the Super Bowl, has never been the Super Bowl winning QB.
I guarantee there's a year or two where Brady threw for the most yards that he won the Super Bowl. There has to be.
I believe that is incorrect.
All right, I'm going to look that up. While I look that up, let's discuss the Monday night games. There's two. The Steelers play again. There's no line because of that game, whatever it is, they're going to kill Washington. It's in Pittsburgh.
Right. I don't think they'll kill them, but I think that they will win the game.
All right. The Bills and 49ers are playing in Arizona. The Bills are a 1.5 favorite.
Where is that game being played, by the way?
Arizona.
But in the Cardinal Stadium?
Yeah.
And the Rams Cardinals game is also there?
Correct.
Wow.
Playing the next day.
What's the spread on that game?
1.5.
I'll take the Bills. I like the Bills traveling east to west.
I'm gonna take the Bills as well. By the way, I think you're correct. I'm looking at when Tom Brady led the league in passing yards. He led the league in 2005. They did not. 2007, that's when they lost to your Giants. In 2017, I believe that's when they lost to the Eagles. So any year that he's led the league in passing yards.
Right. I believe, unless something happened recently, I believe it was no quarterback ever.
Has led the league in passing yards and also won a Super Bowl. That's an interesting stat. It's a good stat.
And again, Len, this is actually not me doing an Eli Manning slurping thing. The only guy to throw for 4,500 yards and be the Super Bowl champion quarterback is Eli Manning. So he's not the only guy to throw for 4,500 yards, obviously, but it doesn't translate into you having the best team.
Sure.
Because what it tends to mean is that you're not balanced enough. My point is that the Chiefs' greatness comes from Patrick Mahomes' gaudy greatness.
Yeah.
That's to me what's putting him on the, like, I'm just saying, listen, if he does it this year, I'm jumping on it early, because then when he does one more or whatever, everybody's going to be on board. I'm going to start the train. The same way I did after LeBron James had won two. I was like, that's it. That's all I need to see.
Well, the last game is Cowboys Ravens, which is Tuesday. They're not putting line. I'm looking.
Yeah.
I'm looking everywhere. There's no lines up because they don't.
The Ravens just show up and beat the Cowboys. I don't need the Cowboys getting involved in the NFC East mix. Just beat the fucking Cowboys with Andy Dalton.
Well, if the Cowboys don't stand a chance, I think, if Lamar Jackson plays, but if RG3 is out there throwing some bad pick sixes.
Although, honestly, the Ravens defense looked good yesterday. I mean, I know it's a sloppy game.
They have a good defense. They have a really good defense. They always do.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, guys. That is our Week 13 picks. If you have a call, drop us a message. The hotline is 310-359-8365. I'm going into storage today to get a bunch of stuff for the koozies. So I will be sending those out this weekend. Drop an iTunes review with your Twitter or Instagram handle, and I will reach out to you to send you two free Dirty Sports koozies. Just leave a review. That's all it takes. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Dirty Sports. You can follow me personally on all social media at Andy Ruther.
At Joe Prano on Instagram, at Joe Prano on TikTok, at Joe Prano on Venmo, at Fix Your Life on Twitter. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Drink Miller Lite and tell me about it. I need a 2-to-1 ratio. I need two tweets about your enjoyment of Miller Lite for every one randomly started burner account that tells me I eat cock or whatever it is.
Yeah, they're really graphic this week. I don't know why.
And shout out to the return of Dustonian. Coming in with a burner. Hey, Dustonian, we see you.
Hitting us with both the same exact tweets.
And then I was like, what's up, Dustonian? He's like, huh? Like, come on, guy. We see you. We know you're
unbelievable.
There.
All right, Dirtballs. Stay safe out there. Mask it up for us. Be smart. And as always, stay dirty.